Well, good morning. It is Sunday, March 25th, 2018. And I just wanted to let you know that next Sunday, April 1st, we will not have a teaching recorded. We will not send out a teaching link because we will be observing communion and serving that here in our local area. So we will be back again with you with the recorded teaching on April 8th, Sunday, April 8th. And before Larry teaches today, yay, there are a few things we'd like to mention so you're not distracted by anything you're hearing and that you don't hear the message. It is God working within him to will and to do of his good pleasure. His speaking may vary in speed. It may be fast at times. It may be slow at times. These are just things that will be completely overcome in time, but it does not change what he is saying any iota. Also, his peripheral vision was affected in a stroke. So when he looks down at his notes and he looks up at everybody to talk to them, it may take him a moment, and that may be a silent moment, to reestablish himself where he is in his notes for his next point that he wants to make. So don't let the silence be awkward. It's just what could go on. And also, if he would misspeak about anything, we'll handle that in an email link that goes out, so no worries. He is definitely recovering at a very rapid pace currently. Today, he is wearing his regular shoes. He doesn't have on a leg and ankle brace, so he is just doing wonderfully well. So I will say this, welcoming him back to his teaching platform really does thrill my heart. So here's Larry with you to teach the living bread.
Well, God bless you. It's such a blessing to be back with all of you, to see your faces here, and of course, those of you who get the downloads to be able to prepare one for you and have it there. I've been very blessed by your emails, little notes and cards that I've gotten, but most of all, for your prayers and intercessions for me. There were some really difficult attacks to overcome. But it's your prayer and support that helped me to overcome them. So I thank you all. This morning's teaching will be in preparation for our remembrance of Jesus Christ and how we celebrate his and our victory. And I'm not talking about preparing the communion table, that we're going to have everything arranged and set up, but preparing our hearts so that we can discern the Lord's body, properly discern the Lord's body when we partake of the communion, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 11:29. The needs of this world are so vast. There is evil in this world that wields its death-dealing power. But there is a greater power in the name of Jesus Christ that's been given to us to overcome and to stave off and be sustained. There are horrific and devastating diseases and afflictions that rack and ruin men and women's lives. That distort their bodies and injure their physical health. But there is a greater victory in the name of Jesus Christ that's been given to us because of his mighty work. There are depths of sorrows, anguish, shame, depravity, but there is none so low that the power in the name of Jesus Christ cannot pull anyone up and out of the chasm, even at its lowest ebb. It's in the glorious name of Jesus Christ that the sick can be healed, the dead can be raised, and eternal life is given through his glorious name. For the power and glory of the Word of God are demonstrated and established in his wonderful, worthy name. Let's go to Psalm 107. There is such a need for men and women to speak to other men and women these truths that we know and get them acquainted with Jesus Christ and with God as a loving Father. Men and women who are willing to minister. As I've said before, if every preacher in every church taught that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world and that he did a finished work in saving us and that we are heirs of eternal life, there still wouldn't be enough. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. First of all, he sent his word. That is God. He so cared that he sent his word. He sent the ultimate with all of its power and all of its might. And then in Psalm 138, verse 2, the last half of that verse, it tells us that he magnified his word above all of his name. God signed off on the word. He authenticated it. This word that God magnified above all his name represents his power and his presence. The heavens and the earth were reestablished in Genesis 1:3 when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said it. He spoke it into being, and he has given us his word that we can speak and say. That word has power, and it is a mighty word and a mighty power. Where the word of God is, the power and the presence of God are there for men and women to believe. The word of God is powerful and dynamic because it carries the power and presence of God himself. Remember John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Where that Word is, the power and presence of the Creator is there. The reason he sent his Word and healed them is because healing is a very part of God's nature. In Exodus 15, verse 26, it says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." It's just his nature. He's so loving and kind and so compassionate. Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. In John 1:14, it tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. We read all the records of the healing and deliverance that he wrought for people because where the Word is, there is the power and the presence of God, both the Word of God and the Word made flesh, representing the power and presence of God. Today, it is Christ within us. Therefore, all of the virtues and all of the power, all of the miracles, all of the wonders, all of the signs that were confirmed in the life of Jesus Christ are still available today. Those mighty works are still available today. In John 14:12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, or she will do also, and greater works than these shall they do, because I go unto the Father." Well, he went unto the Father. We know that because we know the scripture tells us about his ascension. See, Jesus Christ's purpose was to evidence and demonstrate healing all the way to wholeness in the power and presence of God by way of his word. In Acts chapter 10, it tells us exactly Jesus Christ's life and ministry. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. "The word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." Then in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ went about doing good. Now, if it was God's will for evil or injury or hurt, Jesus, or to maim, Jesus Christ would have gone around and punished people. Then Jesus Christ would have gone around punishing people, and he would have gone around injuring them, and would have gone around taking retribution out on them for God. But he didn't, because that's not God's will. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him to save it, through him, Jesus Christ, to save the world. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ's coming was to demonstrate for God's people what the power and presence of God was all about. It was to redeem God's people, to save God's people, to make it so that they have eternal life, to give them greater power in this life and greater strength in this life. So he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And by way of the gift of Holy Spirit that we received in the new birth, God is not only with us, he's within us. God heals and delivers us. That's why God makes so much available. It's not our goodness, but it's not based on our goodness, but based on the goodness of God and the goodness of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why God heals and delivers us. That's why God makes so much available, because Jesus Christ was so good, and Jesus Christ dwells where?
In us.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That, our own lives are not worthy, but his life is worthy. That's what makes it worthy, because he dwells within us. That's why he's our Lord and our Savior. God gave him the name which is above every name, and he earned the title Savior of the world. Our Lord and Savior took sickness, infirmity, bruising upon himself so that you and I would be able to walk with the power of God in our lives. Jesus Christ took all of it on him so that by his stripes we are healed. The context of Psalm 107 is praise of the Lord for having provided bread, manna, to the children of Israel during their 40 years. In the chapter of John, there's a great record, if you want to go there, that refers back to this period of time. For 40 years, God had manna from heaven, food, to sustain the children of Israel. For 40 years, every day it was there. And all they had to do was go out and pick it. And he did that miraculously every day for 40 years. However, if you try to take extra for tomorrow, it would go to worms. So you had enough for the day. Except on Friday, you could pick a double amount so that you would have some for Saturday, which was your day of rest. And actually, it should have been the time to regard and thank and praise God. In John 6, verse 48, Jesus said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." To eat of his flesh would be to eat of the word, just like Jeremiah 15:16. thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah didn't physically eat the scroll, just like we would not physically eat the flesh of Jesus Christ. He ate of it in the sense that he chewed it on it, you know, thought about it, digested it, and then it was assimilated through his whole body, what those words had to say, through his whole system, bringing him physical and spiritual wholeness. We are to take the words and things, what the scriptures tell us of Jesus Christ, chew on them, ruminate on them, sometimes people say, and then digest it and let it assimilate in our physical bodies to bring healing and wholeness to us. They just simply did not know John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the children of Israel. And then in verse 53, then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever, meaning of his life. You know, and drinking of his blood is in terms of taking in what his life represented and what God said he accomplished for us in our remission of sins. Because our Lord is the bread of life. See how it fits in the communion? Paul's instructions concerning the communion in 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, eat ye all of it. In other words, all of you be partakers of it and really get the imagery down. The bread represented his body. His body was the Word made flesh according to the scriptures. The Word represents the power and the presence of God, and where the power and presence of God is, there is healing and deliverance. We all like to take selfies. I took a little picture of my wife a little while ago, and I hold this up and I say, this is my wife. Well, this isn't really my wife. It's a representation of my wife. It shows her beauty. It shows her grace. It shows her kindness. You can see all these different things there. Her her heart to serve. All these truths that she is involved with. But that's not actually her. It's a figure of speech called a metaphor. It's called a transference. You're transferring the meaning of one thing to something else so that people get an understanding. And so when I say, this is my wife is over there, but this is a picture of her. It represents her. The bread represented his body. His body was the Word made flesh according to the scriptures. The Word represents the power and the presence of God. So where the power and the presence of God is, there is healing and deliverance. This is the bread, what that bread represents in the communion. When we partake of the bread, that's what we should assimilate in our minds, that we have partaken of the power of God and his presence, and it is within us to do what he said it'll do. And we should assimilate it in our minds in the very depth of our believing hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The word "this" and the word "body" are both, in the Greek, they assign gender to words. Also in the Aramaic and in Hebrew, they have a gender assigned to words. There's feminine words, there's masculine words, and there are neuter words. In the case of the Greek from which this was translated, the word "this" and the word "body" are both in the neuter gender, making a clear reference of transference. This, meaning whatever he was holding in his hand, is my body. So there's a transference there. The word "bread" is in the masculine, making it a true metaphor. Figures of speech are governed by the laws of language. Today we use figures of speech very loosely, but in the Bible times and in the scriptures, they were very careful to observe the rules of language when they wrote down the scriptures. Actually, they followed strict rules of grammar. For instance, I have a picture of me and I say, or a picture of my wife and I say, "This is my wife." It's not really her, but what it does is it represents her, what she looks like. "This bread is my body" is a representation of Jesus Christ's flesh, which also represents the word of truth. And the word was made flesh, which represents the power and presence of God, which results in healing and deliverance. See why the bread fits so beautifully with the communion? We are to eat of the bread of the communion in remembrance of him. Then go to verse 25. Because there is another element in the communion. There's two main elements in the communion, the bread and the cup. "After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink of it in remembrance of me.'" The phrase "in the New Testament, in my blood," is speaking of a blood covenant, which is an everlasting agreement between God and us for our remission of sins. The cup represents judgment. So you can have a good judgment or you can have a bad judgment. It just depends what's in the cup and who the cup belongs to. Those of you who were game board players, if you ever played Monopoly and you got the community chest, you might pick up a card that said "error in judgment in your favor." Go to the bank and get $40. And you drive around the board and you pick up your $40. It entitles you to something. The cup represents judgment. A judgment can be a good or bad. It depends on the cup and it is referring to and depends on the content of the cup. In verse 25, we see that it's the Lord's cup. In verse 15, it calls it of chapter 11, it calls it the cup of blessing. So it's the Lord's cup, and we have no reason to fear the judgment because it is a cup of blessings. The judgment is blessings. Go to the bank and get $40 worth of blessings from the Lord. And I can see this because we still do a lot of these things today. We still do a lot of referring to these words in our culture. Sometimes we say, someone says, I have a proposition or I have an idea I'd like you to take a look at. And he said, well, I'll take a look. I'll chew on it for a while. Let me chew on it for a while. We do still say that, you know. Mm-hmm. Let me digest it. And it's a big item, you know, it's a big item to look at. Let me digest it. I haven't gotten the whole thing and see how this will really work to our benefit. So let me digest it. And so we use these figurative words. And when we go to weddings, what is the groomsman or the best man do for the bride and groom when they sit there? He raises his glass and makes a toast. And we all stand there with ours and we clink our glasses together, dilly dilly, cheers, or whatever you're going to say. and you know, when we do that, that means we are in absolute agreement. That's why he said, you know, drink ye all of it, meaning from this one cup, because we're all in agreement on what this says. So that's what we want to bring to people, you know, what we have an agreement on. Verse 26, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Meaning you show, you know, what his death represents. Life for us and healing and deliverance. So when we come to this, it's a commitment to life. It's a commitment to life because the words represent life. Knowing that we have a covenant for our remission of sins, we are to eat the bread and drink of the cup with the expectation of healing and deliverance. As oft as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup with digestion and assimilation, we remember our Lord as he would have us to do. And if you cannot take anything else away from you, at least today, take this one thing. You've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. You owe nothing. He paid the price. You've been forgiven. There's nothing that the adversary should be able to hold over your life because you've been forgiven. I don't care how low, doesn't matter. He didn't say, only up to this point will I remit your sins, but we've been given remission of sins. And let's, when we come together to partake of the communion, let's remember what we have in the Lord and sort of, you know, start a whole new year of life for ourselves, knowing that he is the bread of life and there's healing and deliverance because the power and the presence of God is there. And that his blood was shed for our remission of sins. God bless you. Thank you.